Okay, everybody, good evening. I hope everybody's well. Once again, our thoughts are, of course, all in Israel and what's going on with the Chatufim, with the hostages, and all the various ins and outs, and what's going on with Israel and the war and the soldiers and everything in the immediate as well as in the future. So again, we have that in mind as we learn, and it should be for the schut of all the chayalim and all the communities and all the people in the harm's way. Tonight we're going to learn Perek Yud, the 10th chapter. Last week we did Perek 9 in great depth. Tonight we're going to learn Perek Yud. Probably going to have to end Shir a little earlier than normal. Just have a couple of things I got to get done before tomorrow for SAR. So, as much as, you know, TIM is great, I also have my other job. I have to get certain things done before tomorrow. Okay. So we are in the middle. I also want to note that next week is regular Shir. And then the week after that, I'm going to be in Israel. I'm going to be in Israel again, visiting my son, who just made Aliyah and who's in yeshiva, but might be drafted in April or May. I'm going to be visiting him in February, the week of February 11th through the 19th. So we will not have class that week. Okay, you'll get an email about it, and I'll mention it again next week after Shir. Okay, so we were smack in the middle of the, as they call it in Hebrew, the tihur, the purification, the of and the destruction of Beit Achav, of the house of Ahab, as it had been predicted in the Nevuot of Eliyahu, in chapter, all the way back in chapter, Malachim Aleph, Perek, Yutet, in Kings 1, chapter 19, when Eliyahu had basically decided to retire, and he was frustrated that everything that he had done at the Har HaKarmel didn't seem to have long-lasting impact. And the people who he had thought he had convinced them to turn away from the Baal, from the Baal God, had not been turned away. So he kind of almost gave up, and he said, God, take my life. But God said to him, no, go back, but you will appoint a successor. And he does, God tells him three things. You will appoint Elisha, and you will appoint Hazael as king of Aram, and you will appoint Yehu, one of those things, as king of Israel. One of those things he does in his life, he appoints Elisha. The other two, he decides to delegate to Elisha, and he does not do it in his lifetime, Elisha being the extension of Eliyahu. And so Elisha is the one that brings to bear the Meshicha, the anointing of Hazael Melech Aram, and ultimately brings, as we saw last week, the anointing of Yehu, who was one of the generals of Yehoram, the son of Ahab, but brings, ultimately, together with his generals, he brings a coup and destroys the house of Ahab, destroys the people next to Ahab, destroys and kills the immediate royal family. And we saw how he did all that in the context of doing that. We also noted that Elisha is not directly involved. He sends a Navi to do it. Elisha reflects the reticence, his ambivalence, because Elisha is not Eliyahu. Elisha is a man of the people. Elisha is reticent to bring down the wrath and the zeal of God to be such a total destruction. Elisha is a conflicted figure in the, yes, there are times when he shows his anger, especially when he's being challenged whether he's actually the prophet of God at the very beginning of reign is the right word, of his career. But throughout his career, he hangs out with the B'nai Hanavim, he hangs out with the Jewish people, and he's always helpful. And the idea that he would become the agent of all the wrath of God coming down on Ahav was very difficult for him. And so therefore, he is more removed. And as we saw at the end of chapter 9 last week, he is not involved, but he appoints Yehu, and Yehu ultimately does all the dirty work, kills all the Ahab, Yehoram, the son of Ahav, as well as he kills Ahaziah, the Melech Yehuda, who had been an ally of Ahav and who had actually married into the Ahab family. So anybody who's tangentially or even directly and tangentially connected to the Ahab family is destroyed. Yehu commands to kill Izebel, throw her off the roof. We saw, and basically as we ended class last week, we noted that ultimately, or maybe it was in the middle of class, but we noted that Yehu ultimately becomes Eliyahu. If Elisha, there's parallels between Elisha and Eliyahu, his mentor. But ultimately, if you want to see the actual kana'ut of Eliyahu, the kana'ut of Eliyahu is actually manifest in Yehu. And we noted that in many, many ways. There's lots of phrases that emphasize that and fulfill that. And in this week's chapter, we're going to see it even more. We talked about the fact that the names are similar. Yehu and Eliyahu are basically the same name. God, he is God, or Yehu, or some sort of theosophic name. Eliyahu is also a theosophic name. It's almost the same name. We saw many parallels. Tonight, we're going to see even more parallels as he continues his Masa HaHereg, as he continues this Masa, this destruction. And as we read it, we start to, again, have ambivalence. Yes, Yehu is clearly seen as the agent of God. And clearly, he is doing the fulfillment of the Nevuah to Eliyahu. But at the same time, did he go too far? Did he not go too far? These are all questions that we're going to, so to speak, have to address as we, so to speak, start to look at all of these things. Okay, so let's continue and let's take a look at chapter 10. So let me make this a little smaller, open up my Tanakh here, my Mechon Mamre, and let's go to chapter 10. And now let me go back to my Zoom, share my screen, and okay. So this is where we're up to, we got up to last week. After the death of Izebel, the Bible continues. Ulachav Shivim Banim B'Shomron. So Ahav had 70 sons in Shomron. Again, Shomron in the biblical period is not an entire area. It's a city. The capital city of the northern tribes, which extended far beyond what we today call Shomron. Ahav had 70 children. 70, of course, is a very significant number. 70 in the Bible reminds us of the 70 that came down, the 70 children of B'nai Yaakov that came down with him from Egypt to Eretz Yisrael. It kind of reflects a kind of very large clan, a complete clan. It also reminds us of another king, i.e. Gideon. Gideon was a king who also had 70 sons. And remember that Avimelech, who wants to be king, but kills off all of the B'nai HaMelech. So there's a kind of, again, parallelism, which is exactly what's going to happen here. Ulachav shivim banim b'shomron v'ichtov Yehu sfarim v'ishlach shomron el sarei Yisrael haskenim v'el ha'umanim achav lemor. So he sends He sends Sfarim to Shomron to the Sarei Yisrael Hazkenim. So, basically, he sends to these elders. Now, these elders, who are these elders? There's an echo here. As we keep pointing out, there's lots of echoes of the Elijah stories. If we go back to Malachim Aleph, and we go back to chapter 21, which is, of course, the story, which is the foundational story of why God ultimately destroyed the Achav, the Omri line. Achav, Omri had a son, Achav. Achav comes from the Beit Omri. The famous story of Kerem Hayal Linavota Yisraeli, Asher B'Yisrael, Eitzel Heichal Achav Melech Shomron. The famous story of the Kerem Navot, where Achav decides to kill and take this stuff through the instigation of Izebel. Izebel sets up the frame. And remember how she does it. What does she do? Vatichtov Sparim b'shem Achav, Vatachtom b'chotamo, Vatishlach ha-Sfarim el ha-Zkenim asher b'iro ha-Yoshvim, Vatichtov ba-Sfarim lemor kirut zon v'oshivu et navot b'rosh ha-am, v'oshivu shnaim anashim b'nei b'lial negdo v'yud lemor b'irach ta-Elohim v'amelech v'otziu v'siklu v'yamot. So again, notice she sets up a false trial, a trumped up charges against Navota Yisraeli. And she does it by sending Sfarim to the Zkenim in Yisrael with these trumped up tribes. She makes no bones about that this is a fake. She says, gather the people together, Kirutzom, Voshivu at Navot Rosham, Voshivu Shnaim Anashim B'nei Belial. Get two scoundrels who will lie through their teeth and have them testify that Navot cursed out God and the king and kill him. And that's exactly what they do. They do exactly as was written in the Sfarim. And it's at that point that after that, God tells Elijah to go and appear before him. And God says, in the name of Elijah says, in the name of God, Komar Hashem haratzachta v'gam yarashta, and because of this, you're going to die, and the dogs are going to eat up your thing. And gam le'izevel diber Hashem le'mor, ha'klavim yochlu et izevel b'chel Yisrael, ha'met la'achav ba'ir yochlu ha'klavim, etc., etc. So now, when I come back, and I look at Melachim Bet, I look at Perek Yud, it's very striking. In the midst of the destruction of the house of Achav, one of the ways that the sons of Achav are killed are through the instrument of Svarim that are sent to the Zkenim in Yisrael. So it's a kind of Mida, Keneged Mida in that way. I think it's very powerful, measure for measure, to use the same tactic that Achav and Izebel had used to kill Navot and ultimately destroy his family and his destiny. Here, it's used to destroy the children of Achav, the 70 children, 70, again, representing Shleimut, representing a complete clan, representing, so to speak, a nation in some way, and also reminding us of Gidon and those who were killed by Avimelech, the son of Gidon, etc. So you have here lots of echoes of that. Now, these Zkenim, it's interesting, they also represent a kind of the last guard that has to be, so to speak, overtaken. The last, the last holdouts that have weapons and stuff. Because what does he say? V'ata kevo ha-sefer hazeh lechem v'itchem b'nei adonechem. You have the 70 children of Achav, which can potentially be a force. Right? These are the Zera HaMelucha. These are the royal family, the royal children. V'itchem harekev v'hasusim. And I know that you also have weapons. You have tanks. You have Rechev and Susim in the ancient world. These were the tanks of the ancient world. You have Rechev and Susim. You have Merkavot. The ear Mivtzar, and your city is a fortress, Vahaneshek, and you have Neshek. So I know that you may think, and that's what Yehu is challenging them. He's saying, I know that you have weapons. Maybe in the midst of chapter 9, when the B'nai Achav heard what was going on, they quickly moved their forces back to Shomron from Yisrael. And they came, right? Because the story had started in Ramot Gilad. It had started in northern Jordan. They came to Yisrael, but they had already moved. These Kenim in Yisrael had already moved to Shomron. They were tactically retreating. Like David ran away from Jerusalem in the midst of the Mered, in the midst of the rebellion. These guys had also retreated with weapons and with tanks, and Rechem and Susim, the Ir Mivtzar Vaneshek. So he basically gives them a choice. Ure'item Hatov HaYashar, you decide. Mipnei Adonechem, V'samtem Al Kisei Aviv, V'ilachamu Al Beit Adonechem. He basically says to them, look guys, if you want a war, I'm ready to do a war. Ure'item Hatov HaYashar, basically, take whoever you think is from these 70, who you think is appropriate to be the king, and make him the king, and fight for Beit Adonechem, for this house of your Lord. Now, of course, remember, Yehu is in charge of most of the army that was fighting in Ramot HaGilal and is now behind him, is now on his side. Remember all the people. When he destroyed Achav, they all came on his side, ostensibly. And so basically, he says, okay, you want to fight? Or do you want to come on the winning side, basically? Vayir'u ma'od ma'od. Vayomru, hinei shnei ha'malachim lomdu l'fana ve'ech na'amod anachnu. Meaning Yehoram, the son of Achav, was not successful with his troops. Achaziahu, the king of Judah, who was found together with him, was also not successful. The professional soldiers were not successful. These guys are the generals. They have the numbers. They also have the expertise. These 70 children, we don't know anything about them. Ech na'amod anachni, vayishlach al asher abayit, val asher al ir vazkeim, v'amonim al yehu leimor, avadecha anachnu, So basically, from a political standpoint, he basically gets them to surrender without firing a shot. And at this point, and of course, you note the irony, he had said with a little bit of sarcasm, he said, Ure'item Hatov Hayashar, see who is good and proper, Mibnei Adonechem, Esamtem Al Kisei Aviv. And put him on, you know, make him the puppet king and see what happens. But they, of course, they give in. And they said back to Yehu, Avadecha Anachnu, we are your vassals. V'chol asher tomar aleinu na'aseh, lo namlich ish, we will not appoint any other king. Hatov be'einecha aseh, which of course is a nice play. He had said, Ure'item Hatov Hayashar, which of course echoes for any biblical reader the language of Hatov Hayashar B'nei Hashem, which is of course the ideal, but here he's not playing with Hashem, he's saying Hatov Hayashar, whatever was good in your eyes, and they respond back to him, no, Lo Namlich Ish Hatov Be'einecha Aseh, right? Which of course, and also reminds us of the echoes of Shoftim, reminds us of the echoes of the end of Shoftim in the book of Judges, where it's Ish Hayashar Be'inav, Hatov Hayashar Be'inav, that people were doing whatever was good in their eyes, not what was good in God's eyes. It was a tremendous amount of violence and a tremendous amount of killing, the rape, the of Pilegesh Begiva, the civil war, all the terrible things, because there was no melech. And in a sense, what you have here is a play on that. Yehu is saying, I will be the melech who will establish stability, but there will be a lot of violence in this context, because they're saying to him, Hatov be'inecha aseh, which is basically the language of Shoftim, which is what happened, and therefore there was so much violence. Vayichtov alehem sefer shenit. And here too, he sends them a second. Imlo, imliatem ulikoliatem shomi, if you're in fact on my side now, if you have decided to tip the balance and come on my side, k'chu et rashei anshei bnei adonechem uvo elai ka'it machar. Go and kill these 70 and bring me their heads. And come to me in Yisrael. Uvnei ha'melech shivim ish et gdolei ha'ir migadlim otam. They had been raised by the gdolei ha'ir. Maybe some of them were children still. V'hi kevo ha'sefer alehem v'ikhu et bnei ha'melech v'yishchatu shivim ish. They killed. Just like Avimelech killed his brothers, they killed Shivim Ish. Vayasimu et Rashem Badudim. This is very gory, right? The title of this this class is from glory to gory. This is one of the gory parts. They put the heads in Dudim, in big salim, in big baskets. Vayishlechu elav Yisraela. Vayavo hamalach vayaged lo lemor haviu rashi bnei hamelch vayomer simu otam shnei tziburim petach hashar ad haboker. Put them up and let them be in two big piles. Now this, of course, is against the Torah. The Torah explicitly says that somebody who's killed lo talin livlato al ha'etz, you have to bury them immediately. This is where one of the sources that's so important from a Jewish point of view, to bury as quickly as possible. Even those who are killed legitimately by the court, lo talin nivlato al ha'etz, and here, these people who were murdered are just left to rot. Vayhi baboker, vayitzei ve'yamod, vayomer el kolam, tzadikim atem. Okay? You think that you're so frum, because the people were obviously shocked at what they saw. Hinei ani kashati al adoni. Yes, I rebelled. Vahargeu umikat kolele. Who killed all these people? You know who killed these people? The Rashim, the Zkenim. I think hinting at the idea that they, in effect, were responsible because of what they did. And this is part of the punishment. And he says, Du'u efo kilo yipol midvar Hashem arza, asher diber Hashem al beit achav, v'Hashem asa et asher diber biyad avdo Eliyahu. Here again, once again, you have explicit mention that Yehu sees himself, as I mentioned, as the political manifestation of the prophetic Eliyahu. Eliyahu was the prophetic voice, and ultimately, Yehu is the political manifestation of Eliyahu in all of its rage and all of its goriness. V'Hashem asa et asher diber biyad avdo Eliyahu. They said, the Zkenim said that they are avadim to Yehu, and Yehu said, but understand that who really did this is God. Ki lo yipol midvar Hashem arza. Not one thing God says will fall and not happen. Asher diber Hashem al beit achav, Hashem asa et asher diber biyad avdo Eliyahu. Again, the question when you read this is this really what God said explicitly? God did say that every male child from the house of Achav would be destroyed. There would be no mashtin v'azuv. There would be nobody who urinates. Nobody, on the kir, meaning a man. And yes, they were all killed. But did God want them to be killed in this fashion? That's the question that kind of hangs in the balance here. Did Yehu go overboard? And the text continues. Vayach Yehu et kol hanisharim lebeit Achav b'Yisrael. V'chol gdolav umiyuadav v'choanav ad bilti, hishir lo sarid, until there was nothing, there was nothing left. Okay? And so here you have, he kills out all of the remaining relatives in Yisrael. Ad bilti hishir lo sarid. Vayakam vayavo vayelch shomro. Now, I just want to stop for a second. This all takes place in Yisrael. And again, as I said, the fact that Elisha is not there may reflect ambivalence. As you read the story, you might have ambivalence. What adds to the ambivalence is that we have a passage in the book of Hosea that also makes it clear that certainly some Nevi'im, and certainly there is a prophetic attack on what happened. I'm referring specifically, let's look up the pasuk, make it specific, Demei Yisrael. If you look a couple of decades later, Demei Yisrael, so in the book of Hosea, okay, where is it? Demei Yisrael, Al Beit Yehu. Right, so if you look at the beginning, let's look at the beginning of the book of Hosea. Let me come back to my, okay, so let's go back. If you look at the beginning of the book of Hosea in Trei Asar, so Devar Hashem Asher Yael Hosea ben Be'eri B'yimei Uziyahu Yotam Achaz Yechizkiyahu. B'yimei Uziyahu means it's contemporaneous around or a little bit before the time of Yishayahu. So in that context, God says, Vayomer Hashem Elav Kra Shemo Yisrael. Ki od ma'at ufakadeti edmei Yisrael al Beit Yehu. V'hishbati mamlechut Beit Yisrael. So there is here a prophetic attack on Beit Yehu because of Dmei Yisrael, because of the blood that was spilled in Yisrael. So again, it seems, at least from the prophetic point of view that's expressed in the book of Hosea, there is criticism of Dmei Yisrael. Now again, Dmei Yisrael is specifically the killing of, specifically, let's get this back here, specifically the killing of these people, especially the heads of Achav's sons, 70 sons. So that is Dmei Yisrael, the blood that was taken in such a brutal fashion. So maybe, again, as we'll see, certainly in the book of Kings, the prophetic message is ultimately Yehu fulfilled the destiny of what Eliyahu was supposed to do. But in between the lines, maybe there was something wrong. Sometimes you were commanded to do something, but you went overboard. You went too far. Maybe that's what is being said in the book of Hosea. We now continue, and the Bible goes further. Vayakam vayavo vayelech shomron. He finally reaches the capital city. He started, remember, in Ramot Gilad in last week's Perek, up in northern Jordan, where they were fighting the Arameans. That was the Kav, that was the battle line. He finally makes it to Shomron. Hu Beit Eked Haroim Baderech. He makes it, and on the way, he hits a place called Beit Eked Haroim, which literally means the place where the Roim, are bound together. But of course, a number of people have noted that it's very striking that this word is not a very common word in the Bible. And of course, the word where it reminds us the most, of course, is the word Akedah. So here too, is there some sort of hint to the Akedah that he has killed out all of the children, that they all died? I don't know. But the next pasuk is all about more killing. Remember, Achaziah had been killed in the previous chapter, because he had been an ally of Achav and also was a relative because he had married Achav's daughter, Vayomer Miatem, Vayomru Achei Achaziyahu Anachnu, V'neir L'Shalom B'nei HaMelech U'B'nei HaGvira. They hadn't heard yet that all the children had been killed, all the children of Achav and the sons of Achav and the sons of the Gvira. Gvira means like the queen mother, meaning Izebel, had been killed. So we want to find out what's happening. Vayomer tifsum chayim, vayitfsum chayim, vayishchatum el bor beit eked, arbaim ushnaim ish, velo hishir ish mehem. And they didn't leave one alive. Again, interesting, the number 42, I don't know what to do with it because we had that number once before. One second question. Biyad Avdoliyahu could modify Diber as opposed to Asa. Yeh was in the hands and Eliyahu was the mouth. Very nice. Very nice. Okay. In the context of this, the 42, there is one other place when we have 42 people who've been killed. And that's, of course, at the beginning of the book of Kings 2 with the story of Elisha with the bears and the young children or the teenagers who challenged, remember, right at the beginning of his career, when he was just establishing himself as a prophet, and many people didn't really yet believe that he had the power of Elijah. And
that
they
was with the Kireach.
And they
with
said,
the Kireach.
Alei Kireach, Alei Kireach. And it says that 42 of these teenagers or these Ne'arim were killed. So it is interesting. Again, here, is this an echo of, you know, the fury of when you challenge, when you are a challenge to the authority of the one who is legitimately the next person in line, so you get killed, and it's Arba'im Ushnaim Ish, I don't know. Again, it's just interesting to note. Once again, V'lo Hishir Lahem, just like over here, Ad Bilti Hishir Lo Sarid, here too, V'lo Hishir Ish Mehem. We now get to the third stage in this chapter, which leads us to Vayelech Misham Vayimtzat Yehonadav Ben Rechev Likrato Vayivarcheu. Very interesting guy. Name, Yehonadav Ben Rechev. He gets this guy, Yehonadav Ben Rechev. And again, it's interesting. He's the son, Yehonadav, the son of Rechev or Rechav, which of course reminds us of Merkava, of the Rechev, of the tanks. Vayomer Elav, and it seems that this guy was known also. He also was an opponent. Maybe he was an opponent of Achav's rule for a long time. He was an opponent of Yehoram. We don't know. Was he the head of the political opposition? We don't know. But he finds this Yehonadav ben Rechev, Likrato Vayivarcheu, Vayomer Elav, Hayeshet Levavcha Yashar, Kasher levavim levavcha, is your heart yashar, which again reminds us of the beginning of the perek, to appoint an ish yashar here. In effect, Yehu is appointing this guy as his chief of staff. Vayomer Yehonadav, yesh vayesh, tina et yadecha, vayiten yado, vayealehu el elav el hamerkava. He brings Yehu up to his merkava. Vayomer Lecha iti, ure'e bekinati la'ashem, vayarkivu oto berichbo. Okay, so he brings him up into his rechev. Notice the repetition here. Rechev, merkava, vayarkivu berichbo, vayavo shomron, vayachet kol nishrim la'achav v'shomron ad hishmido kidvar Hashem, Asher Diber El Eliyahu. Again, the emphasis on Asher Diber El Eliyahu. Okay. Now, I also just want to note, I didn't see anybody note this in any of the commentaries, but it is interesting to me also. Again, the echoes of Eliyahu here are very strong for me. This guy is Yonadav ben Rechev, and Vayomer Yonadav Yesh Vayesh, Tzina et Yadecha, give me your hand. Vayitein yado, vayaalehu elav el hamer kava. Now it's a little bit unclear who's bringing who up. But is it that Yehonadav is bringing our good friend Yehu up to his Merkava. If it's true, that again connects us to the very beginning of Melachim Bet in chapter 2, when Eliyahu went up in a Se'ara HaShamayim, went up in a Se'ara, he went up in the storm. So remember, when he went up, how did he go up? So the Bible tells us, Vayal Eliyahu, he went up B'Se'ara HaShamayim, Ve'elisha Ro'eh, V'hu Mitza'ek, I'm sorry, V'hiyem Ho'chim Haloch V'daber, V'hinei Rechev Esh, V'sus Esh, So the Rechev and the Sus Eish come to accompany, to pick up Eliyahu, to take him up to Shamayim. Ve'elisha ro'ev, hu mitza'ek, avi avi, Rechev Yisrael u'farashav. So is that just by chance? Is it by chance that Yehonadav comes and sweeps up Yehu and brings him up into his Merkava? Is there not an echo there also of the Elijah story, of Yehu being a kind of Elijah figure, being brought up through the Merkava? I just suggested, I didn't see anybody who suggested, but I think that there's echoes of that, given everything else that we've seen. And it ends off, Vayavo Shomron Vayachet Kol Nishrim Le'achav V'Shomron Ad Yishmidol Kidvar Hashem Asher Diber Al Eliyahu, had been spoken to Eliyahu. We now come to the last section of this perek, which again is a clear parallel to the story of Eliyahu on Har HaKarmel. And this was explicated at great length by a number of writers, including Elchanan Samet and others. So let's just go back for a second and remind ourselves of some of the language of that famous story, that beautiful story of Elijah on Har HaKarmel, where he decides to challenge the Nevi'e HaBa'al. And he says to gather. Vayomer, and he says to him, Ve'ata, Elijah says to Achav, Shlach kvotzeilai et kol Yisrael al Har HaKarmel, ve'et Nevi'e HaBa'al 450, u'Nevi'e HaShera 400, ochlei shulchani zevel. So go and gather the Nevi'e HaBa'al. So notice two things. First of all, gather all of Israel so that they will be the audience, the spectators, and gather the Nevi'e HaBa'al. Vayishlach Achav b'chol b'nei Yisrael vayikpots et ha-Nevi'im al Har HaKarmel. So he gathers everybody to do what they're supposed to do. And then, of course, you have the story of they do a whole service. V'yitnu lanu shnayim parim. Let's do some korbanot. And that's exactly what happens. V'yikru et ha-par asher natan lahem. V'yasu v'yikru b'shem ha-baal. Me'aboker etzayim lemor ha-baal aneinu. V'ein kol v'ein oneh. Okay? So they do these things. And then, of course, Eliyahu makes fun of them. V'yihi b'tzoraim v'yihatel b'hem Eliyahu. Eliyahu basically mocks them. And he says, keep calling out. Maybe he's sleeping. Etc. Etc. And, of course, the great miracle comes down at that point. And Elijah builds the Mizbeach b'shem Hashem. And he puts Shtem Esrei Avanim. You have the whole scenario. God answers him. Vatipol Eish Hashem v'tochel ta'ula v'ta'itzim v'tavanim. Etc. Etc. Hashem hu Elokim. Hashem Elokim. Vayomer Eliyahu lahem tifsu et Nevi'e HaBa'al. Grab the Nevi'e HaBa'al. Ish al yimaleit mehem. No one should go away. And then he goes and he kills them over there. And kills them in that place, in Nachal Kishon, according to the Cherif. Now, when we come back here, we have basically the same story in a little bit different form, but the last story that we have of Yehu in this chapter is exactly that. Once again, Vayikbots Yehu, not Eliyahu, but Yehu gathers at Kol Ha'am, the people. Vayomer aleim, achav avadet habaal, ma'at, yehu yavdenu harbe. And again, he mocks, either he says this sarcastically, or he's, so to speak, leading them on. Achav worshiped the Baal, but yehu is going to do it a lot. Ve'ata kol nevi'el ha-baal kol v'chol, kiru elai, ish al yipakeid. Gather all the nevi'ei ha-baal. Once again, gather all the people, gather all the nevi'ei ha-baal, ki zevach gadol li la-baal, kol ha-she yipakeid lo yichyeh. He did it with trickery in order to destroy the Nevi'ei Habal. But again, it's through the same agency. It's through a korban. There's going to be some sort of great show of the Baal and the Kohanei Habal. Vayomer Yehu, kadshu atzara labal v'yikaru. Make a gathering. Vayishlach Yehu b'chol Yisrael. Same language as Achav. And he sent Vayavo kol of the Abal, Veloni Shar Isha Sherloba, Vayavo Beit Abal, they come to the Beit Abal, some sort of big synagogue. Vayimale Beit Abal Pelape, it was face to face, from mouth to mouth, there was no room. Vayomer La Sher al Hameltacha Hotse Levush, Lechol of the Abal. Go and take out, the Meltacha was some room where they kept the special clothing of the Kohanim. Go and bring the Ovdei Habal, bring them their special clothing. Vayotzei lahem amalbush, vayavo Yehu v'yonadav ben rechav beit Habal. Vayomer lo Ovdei Habal, chapsu, ru'u pen yesh po imachem me'avdei Hashem. Make sure there's nobody who's servant of God. Kim Ovdei Habal of Adam. They do zvachim v'olot, just like the Ovdei Habal did in the time of Eliyahu. V'yehu sam lo b'chutz shmonim ish, Vayomer ha'ish asher yimaleit. Same language. Anybody who tries to escape, he should kill him. Vayika chalutol asot alav yomer yehu laratzim v'lashalishim bo hikum. Ish al yetzei. No one. And that's exactly what they do. They kill all of the nevi'ei habal. They send to the ratzim. Vayelchu ad ir beit habal. They even get to the place, probably was right outside Shomron, the Beit Habal, the little neighborhood of Beit Habal. Vayotziot matzvot Beit Habal. They take out all of the signs of the Beit Habal. Vayitzuot matzvat Habal. Vayitzuot Beit Habal. Vayasimu l'merchaot. They make it into latrines till today. Vayashmeid Yehu et Habal Yisrael. Rak chata'ei Ravam ben Avad. Shechli lo sar Yehu. Me'achareim. Egle azav asher Beit El asher bedan. So, what's interesting, of course, what you have here is the fact that he didn't destroy the Eglei Zahav. Meaning, and again, it's important to note, and I want to repeat this, and it's something that is very important to note. Baal was a different deity. It was a foreign god. It was the god of the Phoenicians that had been introduced into Israelite religion. Maybe some people worshipped it syncretistically together with Yudke Vavke, but many worshipped it as an alternative. The Agalim, the calves that had been made in Beit El by Yeravam ben Nevat were manifestations of God, were manifestations of Yudke Vavke. Just like the Egel HaZahav, according to the Ramban, we learned in the Bible, were conduits. Now, it's still inappropriate because it goes against the second Dibra. No representation, physical representation of God, even when you're worshiping the right God, but it's different than the Baal. And he was willing, Yehu continued that. He destroyed foreign worship, but did not destroy what we would call idol worship of Yudke Vavke. Vayomer Hashem el Yehu, Yana Sheratibot Lasota Yashar Be'enai. We closed at the beginning. It was Hayashar, you know, do what's right in your eyes. Yehu does. They tell him, do what's right in your eyes. The Zekenim, Hatov Beinecha Aseh. But at the end, God gives him a Shkoyach. Vayom Hashem al Yehu Yanasher Ativot al Asot Hayashar Beinai Kechol Asher Belovavi Asita LeBeit Achav Bnei Reviim Yeshvu Lechal Kisei Yisrael. You will have, even to the fourth generation, you will see. Now again, notice it doesn't say forever and ever and ever. You will have till the fourth generation. Again, is that because Is that hinting to what we eventually see in Hosea, that God still had some ambivalence? Yes, he did what God wanted, the destruction of the house of Ahav and the destruction of the Beit HaBaal and all of the cult of the Baal. But at the same time, he did it with such cruelty and achzariyut and such gore. Maybe there's a certain subtle hint that gets it then expressed more broadly in the book of Hosea. V'yehu lo shamar lechem b'torat Hashem al ha'yisrael b'cholavo, lo sarmi al chatot yirom asher echti Yisrael. And therefore, bayamim ha'hein, hechel Hashem lekatzot b'Yisrael, God started to punish or started to hurt Israel. Vayakem chazael b'chol gvul Yisrael. Min ha'yardein mizrach ha'shemesh al kol eretz ha'gilad, ha'gadiv ha'rvoniv ha'mnashim, ha'orer asher al-nachal ha'ron, v'agilad v'abashan. From the bottom, from the south of Jordan, to the middle of Jordan, all the way up to the Golan. Now you have to understand. Let's finish this. V'yeter divrei Yehu v'chol asher asav v'chol v'halom tuvim al sefer ha'arim l'malchei Yisrael. Vayishkav Yehu imavotav vayikroto b'shomron. He dies a king's death. Vayimloch ya'ochaz b'no tachtav vayimim asher malach yoyo esrim u'shmona shana b'shomron. I want you also to understand, if we take this from a purely political point of view, on the one hand, yes, it was a perfect thing that Yehu did to destroy the cult of the Baal, and of course, to destroy the house of Ahab. But at the same time, from a political point of view, it also weakened Israel, because first of all, two things happened. Number one, he killed the allies of Israel, i.e., he killed Ahaziyahu, Melech Yehuda, and his children, which basically put an end to any alliance that had been going on for a number of decades together with the house of Ahab. That only could hurt the political standing of the northern kingdom, because they had less allies and they had less weapons and they had less bodies and less soldiers. Number two, all of this tremendous amount of killing probably also hurt the internal stability in the country. Number three, the fact that he killed and destroyed the Nevi'i HaBaal, of course, also meant that all of any relationships with any of the countries in the north, except for Aram, but all the Phoenicians and others, were probably severed by this. And so whatever political support, allyship he had in the northern west, up there with the Phoenicians, the Tsar, the Sidon, probably dissipated as well. And so it's not by chance. Yes, on the one hand, he fulfilled the goals of God to destroy the Baal and the house of Ahab. But at the same time, politically, there was a weakening of the Israelites. And that's what happened during this period of time. And they have a slow decline. There is an aliyah in the time of the second Yeravam, which we'll talk about eventually, but we'll get to that. But with that, we close for tonight. Okay, I'll see you next week in Mirtza Hashem. Next week we have a regular shiur, as I said, and then in 2 weeks we'll take a break on February. Today is January 31st, so next week is what, February the 4, 5, 6, 7.
Be off on the 14th.
So we're going to be off on the 14th, February 14th. So do your own learning. Okay. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Shabbat shalom to everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Shabbat shalom.